Hello, hello, lovely listeners.
All of you ghouls and goblins.
And everything in between. Welcome to Across the Veil with Zelda
and Emma.
Hello, hello, lovely listeners, and welcome back for season two.
Yes.
Electric Boogaloo.
We're back after a wee hiatus of like 6 months.
Of life. We've had a lot of life happening.
Yeah, a lot of life. Some not great.
We've both experienced deaths in the family, and both of us have had to do pretty big moves.
Yeah.
Emma, all the way across the country.
All the way across.
And me a little bit across the city.
But now, not only are we in the same place, we live in the same apartment.
And we're doing this in the same room.
It's such a change.
It's really weird, like, looking at you while doing this. I'm used to, like, seeing just your, like, tip of your nose and your eyebrows from when we used to do them over iPhone calls.
Yeah, we just FaceTime and hope it goes well.
And it did, but now it's going to be even better.
Hopefully. This is our first time recording.
It's going to be good.
It'll be good.
I'm positive.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this episode, bits and pieces of it, were actually from last April when we had our collaboration with Bullhorn. Mm-hmm. This was our finale episode called Dangerous Games, where we talked about some dangerous games you could play, and we're going to be going over some of the ones we talked about, but we've also got some new ones for you guys.
We do. For those of you who listen to our live one, it's going to be a little different.
We got more scares.
More spooks.
More wiggly weirdness. Ooh.
I don't know if we got any wiggly weirdness.
I got some wiggly weirdness. You don't know what I got up my sleeve.
I think that's just you as a person. And it's actually a two-part episode.
We're doing a double feature, baby, inspired by American Horror Story, Ryan Murphy. We're doing it. Double feature.
Double feature. So we're going beyond Bloody Mary and the Ouija board because honestly, those topics deserve episodes of their own. Like, that's a lot to cover while covering multiple games.
Yeah, and we wanted to give you a wide array of games, ones you could play by yourself, mm-hmm. locked in a room, with elevators, with friends at a party.
Yeah.
Lots of options for games you shouldn't play.
You should not play. We're giving you tons of options for something that you should never do.
And we're going to go really into detail about how these games are played, but we are not do not do these games. We are not saying to play these games.
We are not saying that. I have not played any of them because I'm scared.
I've played one of them, but we'll get to that in a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So where are we going to start, Zelda?
Let's start with our most historic game, Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board. We all know how little girls at sleepovers are dangerous and not to be fucked with. You know, sometimes they'll bake cookies or have fun little pillow fights, and then sometimes they'll conjure dark forces and levitate bitches for fun.
For gags.
For the giggle. I know I did my fair share of communing with nature and trying to convince sexy fairy vampires to bless my friends and I with the power of water, wind, earth, and air, you know, as little girls do.
Yeah.
But one of the most popular sleepover games for young people recently has been Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board. And I actually played this back when I was in Girl Scouts.
See, when I was in Girl Scouts, we simply sold cookies.
So we never got to sell cookies because we were international. So we resorted to dark magic, obviously.
That makes sense.
If you've never played, or you've never even heard of the game, the basic premise is that a group of 4 to 5 friends choose one person who lies on the floor, and the other people chant over them and lift the person off the ground, supposedly through levitation magic. Yes, it can be done. The game is real, but there is actually a scientific reason why people can do this. But horror media has really taken the levitation aspect to the next level. So people say that this is a devil game or witchcraft or just like occult happenings, mm-hmm. you know, just the explanations that they give.
Mm-hmm.
I think the scene from The Craft, which is a movie that came out in 1996, is what really made the game so popular in modern times. But there is a long and spooky history to go along with it.
Yeah, I don't think I've actually ever played it, but like I desperately want to. I just need more friends first.
You need more friends who are down to levitate bitches.
Yeah.
So the earliest accounts come from the 1600s, but at that time it was just called levitation play, which honestly just sounds like the coolest wizard kink ever.
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter. Ooh, baby, you want to try some light levitation play tonight?
Wingardium Leviosa.
The statement comes from the Journal of British Naval Administrator Samuel Pepys, from his entry on July 31st, 1665. For all you eagle-eared fans of Across the Vale, you'll recognize this name because he's also the guy who wrote about Mother Shipton. What a weird crossover!
Little coinkydink.
He's relaying a story told to him by a friend, Mr. Brisbane, who Pepys describes as a good scholar and a sober man. Mr. Brisbane claims to have seen four little girls playing this game all in Bordeaux, France. Here is the story directly from his diary.
He saw four little girls, very young ones, all kneeling each of them upon one knee, and one begun the first line, whispering in the ear of the next, and the second to the third, and the third to the fourth, and she to the first. Then the first begun the second line, and so round quite through, and putting each one finger only to a boy that lay flat upon his back on the ground, as if he was dead. At the end of the words, they did with their four fingers raise this boy high as they could reach, and he, Mr. Brisbane, being there and wondering at it, as also being afeard to see it, for fear there might be some slight used in it by the boy, or that the boy might be light, called the cook of the house, a very lusty fellow, as Sir G. Carteret's cook, who is very big, and they did raise him in just the same manner.
These girls sound like bad bitches. Like, I kind of love them.
Just gals being pals, yeah. Lifting some boys, lifting the lusty cook.
Mm-hmm. The lusty cook. Woof.
They lifted the big cook, and this guy was like, damn, French children? Crazy!
Shotties, what you doing?
Mr. Brisbane had also apparently asked about the words that the girls were whispering. The translation from French is something like, here is a dead body, stiff as a stick, cold as marble, light as a spirit. Lift yourself in the name of Jesus Christ. And what's really interesting about this chant is that it's really similar to modern versions. As opposed to the old French version, which went in a round, it is more common nowadays to have a leader, and then the words are done as a call and response, until the light is a feather, stiff as a board bit, where everyone chants together. It's a repeat after me, so Emma, if you would. Mm-hmm. And those of you at home, feel free to join in. The most popular one I can find online goes a bit like,
she's looking pale.
She's looking pale.
She's looking worse.
She's looking worse.
She's dying.
She's dying.
She's dead.
She's dead.
Light as a feather, stiff as a board.
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 The chant is, like, literally describing me during quarantine. Like, looking pale, looking worse, she's dying, she's dead. That's me.
Didn't get a lot of sunlight in quarantine.
No, I don't get a lot of sunlight to begin with, but add in a pandemic and...
Well, welcome to California! The next popular account of this phenomena comes from a book called The Magician's Own Book, from 1857, written by George Arnold. This time, it is explained as a game that was played at an adult party. Which is a party with adults, not like the sexy kind of adult party.
Gotta be specific.
You gotta be specific. It's like a grown-up dinner party. This party took place in Venice, where a group of six people lifted the heaviest man in the room, who was seated on a common chair, and each of them only used two fingers. The phenomena spread pretty globally, and there are definitely regional and generational variants, but most people think levitation is super rad.
Yeah.
Too bad it's not actual magic. Well, so levitation, yes, that's magic. Lifting people, not so much. The key to this trick is timing, which is why the chanting is so important. Each person lifting must apply force at the same time because this distributes the weight of the subject evenly between each lifter, and they only have to truly lift a fraction of the mass. That's why this trick is usually done twice. The first time is unsuccessful because you're not, you know, in the zone. But the second time with the chant, you're more focused and you're working as a group. There's also a phenomena called hindsight bias, which is why people may claim to have actually levitated a person in their youth. Popular culture tells us that the goal of this game is to actually make someone float, when in reality, a group of friends may have barely lifted someone off the ground. Something that I found really fascinating, if not completely heartbreaking, is that this game was probably conceived around the years of the Great Plague in London. The plague had killed millions around Europe, and this game where children played at bringing a person back from death probably gave them some sense of power and stability in a really chaotic, scary world. I wonder if people from our generation could possibly relate.
I wonder. I kind of hope that kids will make up a new ritual to bring back people's, like, sense of smell and taste.
I've heard a few people making up nursery rhymes where they refer to coronavirus as Miss Rona, and people are afraid of this personification, so you gotta stay indoors when Miss Rona is in town.
Solid advice.
Good advice. Get vaccinated.
So, I'm gonna talk about a pretty different game. We usually discuss old rituals in games, like light as a feather, stiff as a board.
We do like talking about old shit.
We do. But modern culture has actually created brand new rituals. And honestly, they may have gotten even darker. So the game I'm going to talk about is the elevator game, aka the elevator ritual, elevator to another world, or elevator to hell. It's a ritual game that can supposedly grant the player access to another dimension or mirror universe. And, like, I'm not totally sure why someone would want to play a game that might bring you to hell, but, like, that's just me. To each his own.
Yeah.
The game must be played very carefully, as if played incorrectly, terrible things can happen to you. Some people even believe that the game is responsible for mysterious disappearances. Games that can take you to another dimension or the spirit realm are not a new phenomenon. They stem from folklore and pagan rituals that have been around for centuries. But, unlike those, the elevator game comes directly from the internet.
I do like how the elevator is kind of a symbol for modernity, and this is a very modern game, mm-hmm. because most rituals don't include electricity because it apparently interferes with the magic or the spirits or the natural world. So it is cool that a modern ritual is based around a machine. I also thought of another name, Hellevator.
Love it.
Into it, sign it, book it.
So when you talk about scary things that started on the internet, which are the next three games that we're actually going to talk about, including this one, like 9 times out of 10, it's a creepypasta.
A what?
I'm going to tell ya. So I have certainly read a creepypasta, but I didn't actually know much about its origin. The word creepypasta, which also I know is like the dumbest word ever, it stems from copy-paste, so just like bear with me. But it's a catch-all term for scary stories and lore that were created and shared throughout the internet. Like a digital update to spoken word urban legends. If Bloody Mary or the Bunny Man is an urban legend, Slender Man is a creepypasta, as he didn't exist before the internet, and was created and shared on sites like Reddit, YouTube, 4chan, or all sorts of random forums and sites. While these stories are, like, pretty much fiction, many people fully believe in them due to the way that they spread and generate more stories about them. Like, think the Slender Man murders.
Mm-hmm.
It can also be difficult to track down the true source or original post. Some stories have photographs and videos, creating an even stronger sense of reality, and possibly allowing the creepypasta to evolve into a modern-day legend. The elevator game is part of a specific subset of creepypastas that are sometimes referred to as ritual pasta. Which, I know, ritual pasta, another stupid name. I hate saying it.
Here are other options. Horror linguine.
Oh god.
Fear fettuccine. I could go on. I won't, but there's options.
I hate all of them. But with these, there's no actual plot, but rather instructions. They're very much like classic sleepover games, but just way more intense. The elevator game may be the most notorious ritual pasta of them all. It hit peak popularity around 2012-2014, when stories of people who did the challenge flooded the internet. Some claimed to have seen another world. But many reported experiencing a series of scary paranormal encounters before just abandoning the ritual, either from fear or a lack of following the rules. There are YouTube videos that you can actually watch of people attempting and failing the ritual as well.
Yeah, you put a ritual on YouTube, it's not gonna go great for you. That's rule number one of spooky paranormal shit. Don't try to put it on YouTube.
Yeah. So, how does one play the elevator game? Let's get into the rules and instructions. I've taken these rules from the blog Ghost in My Machine, who has extensively researched the game and summarized the versions that she's found. Unlike other ritual games, the elevator game must be played with one player and one player only. There can't even be any bystanders. The game must be played in a building that is at least 10 stories high, with an elevator that can access all 10 stories. When you enter the building, go directly to the elevator and press the up button. You must enter the elevator on the first floor, and again, you must enter it alone. If anyone else is in the elevator, you cannot proceed. Next, you have to go to different floors in a specific order. Each time you reach a floor, do not exit the elevator. Remain in the elevator, and when the doors open, press the button to the next floor. It's a little tedious, but this is the order of floors. Once inside the elevator on the first floor, press the button for the fourth floor. When you reach the fourth floor, go to the second floor. On the second floor, go to the sixth floor. From the sixth floor, go back to the second floor. On the second floor, go to the tenth floor. From the tenth floor, go to the fifth floor. When you reach the fifth floor, a young woman may enter the elevator. Do not look at her. Do not speak to her. She is not what she seems. Now press the button for the first floor. At this point, one of two things will happen. The elevator will either descend to the first floor or begin ascending to the tenth. If the elevator descends, the ritual has failed. As soon as you reach the first floor, exit the moment the doors open. Leave the building without speaking or looking back. However, if the elevator ascends, the ritual has succeeded and you may proceed. Note that if you have any second thoughts on what you're about to do, this is your last chance to back out. To terminate the ritual, press a button for any floor in the building other than the first or tenth floor. This can be done during the other steps, but by this point in the ritual, you must cancel before the elevator passes the ninth floor during the ascension. Once you've passed the ninth floor, there's no going back. When you reach the tenth floor, you may choose to either exit the elevator or to remain on board. If you choose to exit and the woman has entered the elevator on the fifth floor, she may take this opportunity to ask you where you're going. Do not answer her. If she does not speak, do not check to see if she is still there. She is. Now look around. You will, it said, find yourself in another world. Although you may see many things, you will know you have arrived in this other world for certain by one indication, and this indication alone. The only person present in it is you.
Damn, how are you supposed to remember all of that?
You gotta write it on your hand or something.
You gotta have like a list. You gotta check it off something. Because God, that's complicated. All of those numbers. And I mean, I don't know about you, but I've never seen an elevator empty for that long.
I think that people usually do it at night.
You gotta do it at night. But also like, someone's gonna be annoyed at that elevator going for hours and hours. Also, a fun fact, some places in Asia, there's not going to be a fourth floor on a building because the words in Mandarin for four and death sound really similar, so a lot of buildings just skip from three to five.
I think that in those cases, you're kind of allowed to do it by counting the actual floors. So it would be like one, two, three, five, and you would count the fifth floor as the fourth floor and like the sixth floor as the fifth floor and
which would just make it so complicated even with your instructions.
Nobody knows exactly what happens after you leave the elevator. Reports of this other world vary. Some say that you'll see a world that looks almost identical to your own, save for two details. All the lights on the floor will be off, and if you look out the window, the only thing you'll be able to see is a red cross in the distance. Electronic devices may not work here, but it's not truly known what to expect. It may be a world completely unique to you. However, no matter what, you will be the only living thing in this parallel universe, or perhaps the only human thing. If the woman is present, she's certainly not human. If you look at her, she'll take you for her own. Since you cannot look at her without being snatched away forever, we'll never even truly know what she looks like.
But like, if she's snatching me for her own, is she cute though?
So you tell me if she snatched you.
Listen, if there was a spooky woman in an elevator, I've got myself a new girlfriend. That's what that sounds like.
After you've seen this other world, you'll probably want to leave. So how exactly does one return? Some sources do not have a way of returning. You're simply stuck. But the ones that do all say you must return in the elevator that you arrived in. If you did not exit the elevator at the 10th floor and the woman did not enter at the 5th, you may simply press the button for the first floor. If you have exited, getting back could be quite difficult. The air might be heavy and suffocating, causing you to become disoriented and lose track of the elevator. Additionally, the elevator may appear to get further and further away as you walk towards it. If you manage to get back in your elevator, proceed to press the buttons and visit the floors of the building in the same order you did when venturing out. 4, 2, 6, 2, 10, 5, 1. When you press the first floor button, the elevator will again begin to ascend to the 10th floor. You must cancel the ascension before the elevator arrives at its final destination by pressing any button but 1 or 10 before passing the 9th floor. If you have correctly canceled the ascension, the elevator will descend to the first floor.
Going down.
When the elevator arrives at the first floor and opens its doors, do not exit, not just yet. Look outside and check your surroundings carefully. If anything seems off, even the smallest detail, do not exit the elevator. This world is not your own. Instead, press the button for the fourth floor and repeat the ritual again. You may do this as many times as necessary until you are absolutely positive you have returned to your own world. If you exit the elevator and are incorrect, you may never return home again. Side note, if at any point during the game you faint or lose consciousness, you will likely wake up in your own home. However, be sure to look carefully around upon waking. The home to which you have returned may not be the one you left when you set out to play the ritual. So it feels like if the game is working, there's a solid chance that you're never getting back home. And the paranoia that you're not in the right world could drive a person mad.
But on the plus side, you might get a hot elevator girlfriend. Elevator girlfriend!
Elevator girlfriend.
You might get a hot elevator honey.
Now let's talk about the exact origin of the elevator game. While many people believe it originated in Korea, as it became very popular on Korean message boards, the earliest version of the elevator game actually came from a Japanese forum website and was posted in 2008. The rules and steps are very similar to what I've told you all. The biggest difference is that there are no details on what you might see in the other world or how to return. But an abrupt ending like this is common in ritual-based Japanese urban legends. With the ones about transporting the player to another world, it may be because those who were successful simply vanished from our world and haven't been heard from since. Once you start, you can't stop. Korean versions in 2011 added the way to return as well as the way to cancel the trip. English translations began to pop up in late 2011 and gave details on what you might see when you reach the other world. And of course, by this point, people began writing accounts of what happened when they played. So what inspired the game? Or what prompted the invention of it? The Ghost in My Machine has a theory. In 2006, an elevator in Tokyo malfunctioned and began to ascend while the doors were still opening, causing a 16-year-old to be crushed to death. An investigation that followed found that at this time, there were several instances in Japan where a certain kind of elevator manufactured in a specific time frame began moving while the doors were still open, similar to what happens in the game. All of these accidents generated a lot of anxiety in the public and an unease towards elevators. 2 years later, the elevator game was created and was based around the cultural response to these accidents. Low-key, it sounds like a lot of these rituals kind of like come from trauma.
I mean, why else would you dabble in something so dark?
True. Traumarama. There is a reason, though, that popularity spiked in 2014. The death of Elisa Lam. You may have heard of Elisa Lam, a Canadian college student who mysteriously died at the notorious Cecil Hotel in January of 2013. Her death was horribly tragic, but I'm not going to get too much into the details about it since it's a relatively complex story that caused a lot of conspiracy theories, and I would want to do her justice in telling it. But here's how it connects to the elevator game. A few weeks after Elisa disappeared, before finding her body in a water tank on the roof of the hotel, the LAPD released footage from a security camera that was within the hotel's elevator. It's the last known images of Elisa. Her behavior in the video is pretty bizarre. She presses random buttons, speaks to and hides from seemingly no one, and jumps in and out of the elevator. Even the elevator itself acts strangely, with its doors opening and closing for no reason. The mysterious circumstances around her death and odd behavior caused the video to blow up online. Theories swirled, and people became convinced that her death was supernatural, many of whom believed that she had played the elevator game and died as a consequence. So, of course, there was a huge surge in the elevator game's popularity. However, since then, her death has been proven not to be supernatural in any way, but rather caused by an extremely tragic set of circumstances. Another thing to note is that the stories of people who succeeded in the ritual or experienced supernatural occurrences after attempting it, such as the woman haunting them, come from places like No Sleep on Reddit. No Sleep is a place where people publish specifically fictional scary stories, but a lot of people end up believing they're real. Stories not on No Sleep, where people really did the ritual, all say that nothing happened. In the YouTube videos that I watched, they were all failed attempts. So I feel pretty confident in saying that the stories of success posted online are fake. But that's not to say that the game isn't real. Maybe those who have succeeded just simply never returned and remain trapped in a desolate mirror world. The only way to know for sure is to try it yourself. But I personally, in my personal opinion, I don't want to risk being trapped in a potentially hellish dimension. My mental health is just not strong enough for that.
Yeah, no thank you. Elevators are already kind of freaky anyway. Yeah, not for me.
No thanks, Tom Hanks.
No thank you, Tom Hank you. But also, I feel like this one is one of the ones where there's so many rules and you have to get things just right that probability for failure is super high.
Yeah, super duper high.
Setting yourself up for a fail.
You're probably going to waste like a half hour.
You'll be spooked.
You'll be spooked.
You'll be spooked and you'll piss off an elevator repair person or other humans in your building. But you probably won't get trapped in a dimension.
Probably.
Probably.
But we don't know for sure.
So this final game was suggested by one of our friends, Jake, from Tough Cuts Pod, and it didn't make it into the first recording that we did last April, so here's some fun little bonus content for you creeps.
Little bonus Jonas.
This game is called Hitori Kakurenbo, or Hide and Seek Alone. It originated in Japan, but it is also played in Korea. The basic premise is inviting a demon or spirit to possess a doll, and then you play hide and seek.
That's a big yikes for me. Like, I used to have a huge doll collection as a kid, and they're currently under my bed in Pennsylvania. And while I'm not scared of dolls, I definitely don't want them to crawl out from under my bed and attack me.
Oh, don't worry. There's very specific dolls. This one gets into nitty-gritty specifics.
All right.
So it's definitely not a game any of us should play because it is super dangerous and even involves a cheeky little bit of necromancy.
I love casual necromancy.
Some casual necromancy, yeah. You know, I just want to put the romance in necromancy. Let's like bring somebody back on a date.
Yeah, on a weeknight or something.
If you do happen to try this game, which don't, I don't want to hear anything on Twitter from any of you trying any of these games.
I personally absolutely want to hear from someone on Twitter.
We are not culpable.
Yes.
We are not culpable.
On your own time, yes. But also let us know.
You should make sure that all of your pets are out of the house because, you know, sometimes the demons that you invite in get a little snacky.
If a demon hurt any of my pets, I would simply have to destroy it. Like, I know how exorcisms work now. I could do it.
You need quite a few items for this game, and while they're all things you can easily find around your house, there are quite a few specific rules to follow, but only if you value your safety. The most important thing you need is a stuffed doll, but the doll really shouldn't look human. Sorry, Annabelle.
To be fair, the actual Annabelle is a Raggedy Ann doll.
That's too human. It should be like a stuffed animal of some sort, because if it's human, we get into weird possession shit with that. You definitely want to use a stuffed animal, you know, maybe a Build-A-Bear. This is not sponsored, by the way, but like if you wanted to, sponsor a ritual Build-A-Bear.
Hey, hit us up, Build-A-Bear.
You're also going to need to stuff the doll with some rice, because apparently that attracts the entity, and rice in Japan is a symbol of providence and creation, which is super ironic and spooky to think too deeply about. Mm-hmm. Next, you'll need a part of yourself. You know, some fingernails, hair. Make sure it's yours, though, because the spirit you're inviting expects a little bit of give and take. So by offering a part of yourself, you're entering a pact. Using someone else's body parts gives the spirit a chance to possess that person. Which is not cool, man!
I don't know, sometimes you gotta do it to them.
Yeah, but this is between you and the spooky doll you're doing. If you're gonna curse someone, do a proper curse. This is just backdoor creepiness.
That's fair.
You're gonna need a sharp object, because you've gotta stab the doll to anger the spirit. But you shouldn't use a knife or scissors because the doll might use those to stab you back. A wooden toothpick is recommended, but pencils will do in a pinch. Red thread might be the hardest item to get, but most craft stores should have some.
Hit up a Joann's Fabrics.
You're gonna use the red thread to sew up the little hole you made by stabbing the doll. And it represents blood vessels because you're kind of giving this thing life, but it also acts as restraints so that the spirit stays within the doll. Which is where we want it to stay.
Yes.
To fully remove the spirit, you'll need a bathtub or a basin filled with salt water. You know, anything large enough to fully submerge the doll should work. And finally, you're playing hide and seek, baby. You're gonna need a real good hiding spot. A fun little side note is that if you have any religious or holy objects in your house, those should be in your hiding spot with you.
That's fair.
Just as like extra protection, yeah. Just in case.
Throw it in there. What's the harm?
Does your mom have a lot of crosses? Keep those with you.
Keep them with you.
To start the ritual, you'll have to name the doll, Then you'll have to rip it open and remove all the stuffing, replace the stuffing with rice and the piece of yourself, and sew it back up using the red thread. Using the rest of the thread, bind the body of the doll, which is extra protection if you get a really nasty demon. Fill your saltwater basin and wait for exactly 3 a.m. All the lights and electronics in your home should be off, except for the television. When it's time to begin, take the doll into the room with the basin, close your eyes, and repeat. The first tagger is, then you'd say your name, 3 times. Turn around and do not look back when you walk into another room. Count slowly from 1 to 10. Then turn around, go back to the doll. You must tell the doll that you found it, and then stab the doll with the sharp object. After that, close your eyes and repeat again 3 times. Now, the doll's name is It. Leave the weapon inside the doll, grab a cup full of the salt water, and put some of it in your mouth. This is for your protection. Do not drink the salt water. Then, go to your hiding place and hope that the doll doesn't find you. Stay as quiet as you possibly can. If you're found, the doll will use the sharp item to stab you.
That's a big ol' yoinks. Bad news bears. Bad news Build-A-Bear, actually. Still not sponsored.
Not sponsored.
But could be.
Yeah, that's why you don't use a knife, because toothpick, is it really going to hurt your human body? A little bit.
Little
knife?
Bit.
Yes.
Through the eye could be pretty bad.
It could be, but you know, it's like a little Build-A-Bear. Ooch, ooch, stabby, stabby.
I'm gonna stab you.
That's a horrifying Build-A-Bear noise.
You're welcome.
It's Tickle Me Elmo. Tickle Me Helmo.
Tickle Me Helmo.
From the depths of hell himself. When you're ready to end the ritual, leave your hiding spot and find the doll. It may not be in the place where you left it. Pour the cup of water in a circle around the doll, swallow the water that's in your mouth, and say, I win! 3 times. Dispose of the doll by burying it with salt, just to make sure that the spirit doesn't re-enter the body. There are a few very important rules to follow, like not playing the game for more than 2 hours. Otherwise, the spirit will become attached to the doll. You should also play alone. Humans all look alike to demons, and so the doll may go after any unhidden friends or family in your home. And with 2 players, the chances of one of you getting possessed is higher, so solo is your best bet. Don't name the doll after a friend or a loved one. They might get cursed. People recommend naming it something like Snowball, Mittens, Fluffy. Just, you know, to really up the spook factor, because if you call it Frank,
yeah.
I don't think I'd be afraid of a Frank Build-A-Bear.
I don't know. I wouldn't be too afraid of a demon called Mittens.
I feel like that gives it like an extra spooky level of like, oh, it's Mittens.
Meet my demonic entity. Mittens.
What about Meet Mittens?
It's still, I'm not getting the spook, but I also am getting the sense of entertainment.
Yeah. And that's really what horror is all about.
Let us know what you'd name your demon.
Yeah, tag us. Hashtag across the veil demon name. What would you name your demon? We want to know. What would you name your demon?
Helmo.
Helmo. I do like Helmo. Not associated with Helmo.
Sesame Street. Sponsor us.
Not an LLC in Sesame Street. Finally, don't leave your house before you've ended the ritual. Because the doll will continue to search for you. And most importantly, don't play if you're easily scared.
That would freak me out. Annabelle ain't got shit on this ritual.
Tickle Me Helmo is coming to get you and stab you.
I'm going to find you.
Ooh, that was good. Thank that was you. A good one.
Chime off in the comments as well about which is scarier, Stabby Demon Helmo or Hellevator.
I definitely think out of all of these games, I'd do Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board again. I feel like that's the least dangerous of these dangerous games.
I would have to agree with that statement. I think that that one has the least chance of getting possessed or stuck in another dimension. So that would be my pick.
Which are things that, you know, I usually try avoiding getting possessed or being stuck in other dimensions.
Yeah, usually.
Yeah, usually. Usually. It doesn't always work out for me, but I'd like to think that I try to limit my possession.
It's the mild sense of self-preservation that lives within me.
Yeah, she's very, very faint, but she is still there.
Yeah, she's still kicking. So that's all the games that we have for today, but
we've got 3 more for next time. Thank you guys for waiting so patiently for Across the Veil. We'll be coming at you with a lot more spooky, spooky things in the coming weeks.
And we're glad to be back and hope that you're also glad that we're back.
But for now, we're done. So we'll see you next time.
Across the Veil.
Same time, same room,
was not planned, nailed it.